sorry, Byers moved, seconded by Rotkin, to forward this recommendation to Sheriff Mark Tracy and inquire what programs the county has for drug education in jails. The motion carried unanimously. Again, I heard of no follow-up on this.
Right, exactly. I mean, I've gone through this whole thing, and it was like, referral.
Let me read a few more so you can comment on them specifically. Action 12, hate crimes protected class designation. Matthews moved, seconded by Rotkin, to request the latest statistics from the police department and the county sheriff concerning hate crimes against the homeless, with a copy of the request to the county sheriff to be sent to the National Homeless Coalition. The motion carried unanimously. Councilmember Fitzmaurice stated that the Criminal Justice Council rejected his idea to set up a hate crimes committee and to compile statistics on hate crimes. Councilmember Rotkin suggested the mayor should write a statement that the city abhors crimes against the homeless, but that no action should be specifically taken at this time. And I guess the action they did take was this request for stats from the sheriffs about hate crimes against the homeless, and I'm not aware we've received any such information. Are you?
I have no idea, but I mean, clearly this is another, like, non-action action. Because, action. I mean, they didn't make any indication that they believed that, you know, this should be the case.
Action 13, youth education and violence prevention. Councilmember Rotkin moved, seconded by Sugar, to ask the city schools to report back on what types of programs exist regarding youth education and violence prevention, and if they include issues such as race and sexual orientation, and to encourage them to introduce such programs, and two, to ask Parks and Rec to provide an FYI about whether such youth education programs were being done in their programs. This motion carried unanimously. What I notice here is the complete absence of the word homeless. So I find it puzzling, but again, I haven't seen any follow-up on this. Perhaps the thing to do is to send a Public Records Act request to the city council or to the city staff saying, I would like to know exactly what was done about each of these actions. Action number 14, self-help violence prevention. By consensus, the mayor was asked to find out whether the CPVAW, Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, other service agencies offered self-defense and violence prevention classes to the Homeless Resource Center. Again, I have no idea if that happened. Action 15.
Well, I mean, you know, it's all like that, every single one. Non-action,
right, no,
non-results, no follow-up. If the city council had been serious about this, then they would have had a specific schedule right then and there for anything that they didn't have to do right now. They should have put it on a future agenda to specifically address it, or they should have had another study session with a meeting and follow-up and reports at that session on each of these things 90 days later, and they didn't. They were not serious about this. This whole report was basically just round-filed.
But I continue to read this report because while they weren't serious, the people who did this work were serious. You, Brendel, LeMaster, and Cole, and others were serious.
Yes.
So let me read a few more of these actions and see what your sense is here. Action 15, relations between police and the homeless community, and 16, police training on homeless issues. By consensus, the council requested a report from the police department about their plans for and job descriptions of the homeless resource officer's position. I think they did get this, because this involved additional money to the police force to fund who many regard as an anti-homeless officer, Eric Seeley, and to come back to the council for the discussion about whether it was achieving the council's goals. Councilmember Crone recognized Lucy Kinmetzer, who stated that the Homeless Issues Task Force asked that any change in the amount of policing or police funding be subject to some forward-thinking and planning involving working groups, including members of the homeless community. Ms. Kinmetzer stated the task force had asked that the homeless resource officer positions not be funded without a plan in place with some input from the homeless community and homeless advocates about the responsibilities and trainings for those positions. Now, of course, none of that was done. There was no input from homeless advocates.
Well, you know, again, I mean, I think the Homeless Issues Task Force report is useful for what it reveals about what the council really thinks about this. I mean, it's walking through this entire list of recommendations, strips away any credibility from any statements made by the city council, and it totally highlights the entire hypocrisy and absurdity and why any kind of homeless advocate in this city, you know, has every reason to be completely frustrated and, you know, Highly aggravated.
Well, you know, it kind of makes
me... I'm getting really aggravated just thinking about
this. Yeah, I mean, I've only read half the recommendations. I think it's useful for people to know what these recommendations are because they do highlight what is being ignored. But it should also be understood that a lot of these recommendations were tailored not to offend the city council, because you had conservatives on this group, and I think, in a way, I regarded you as a conservative at that time, who did not, you know, who wanted to do what you thought was possible, and not even what was needed in the more profound sense. I mean, you'd already put forward the emergency recommendations, rent control, safe sleeping zones. There were three or four others at the midterm that were completely ignored. You weren't even allowed to have time to talk about them at city council. And that was in the reign of the great liberal Mayor Sugar when he first came in. So I'm glad that we're bringing these up. And I know that tomorrow on KSCO at 10 o'clock in the morning, you'll be appearing, I guess, with a couple of guests. You want to talk about that briefly?
Yes. I'll have London Lemaster, who's the outgoing chair of the city's Commission on the Prevention of Violence Against Women. She's a longtime homeless activist. She's sat on this committee with me. In fact, she actually chaired this task force. And, you know, we're going to discuss, you know, all the things that are going on with the commission, the city council, and the downtown ordinances. And I'm going to have Michael True, who's a grassroots street musician activist, who's busy been organizing street musicians and downtown issues proposals.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. And...
Yeah, I know Mike is even considering a lawsuit against the city for harassing him for displaying his artwork, his music, for for donation or sale. That's tomorrow, 1080 KSCO AM, and that's at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, 10 o'clock in the morning.
And for those who want to get a copy of this Homeless Issues Task Force burial, I've actually written a flyer. I wrote it some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the flyer was Flushing the Bones of the Homeless Issues Task Force Recommendations. And it's just a straight record of the minutes of the Santa Cruz City Council of July 11th. And I'll be at Merry Mondays, which will be tomorrow, at 3:30. Will you be there to talk as well, Thomas?
Yes.
Because I know that we're talking also about having a kind of a mini march to the mayor at 4:30, I guess that would be, because they have closed the offices at 5. Everybody should know that if you want to call Mayor Riley at 420-5022, again, 420-5022, you can make an appointment with her for a 15-minute chat, although I understand she hasn't called you back yet, Thomas.
Well, I made a couple of attempts to contact her prior to the institution of this program and hadn't gotten any feedback yet. This was at the suggestion of my fellow members of the Living Wage Advisory Committee, who indicated they would like me to meet with her. So I'm rather puzzled by that, but I guess I will go make the attempt through the formal process now that it's set up tomorrow and see what happens.
Well, Thomas, I appreciate your giving us this time, and I appreciate your coming tomorrow to do some soapboxing, I guess, and who knows, we'll maybe try to get you to criminally chalk at Cathcart, Cooper and Pacific.
Or criminally stand on a...
on a soapbox, or perhaps a milk
planter.
Cart. Milk crate, actually.
Yes.
It may be good enough weather tomorrow to bring videos, although the problem we have with videos is that if we're going to march over to the mayor's...
Yes.
Well, we may be able to do that, too, because maybe that there's a peaceniks who want to come down and help fight the war should be advised that there's also a person tabling there, Joe Williams and the Iraqi Peace Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
That happens between 3:30 and 5:30 or 6, too, so it's a good time to come. Any concluding thoughts, Thomas?
Listen to my show. Show up at the city council on the 14th to have your say about what's going on with the downtown ordinances, and specifically, you know, among the rather obnoxious recommendations, there's the one-hour move-along, which we'll be discussing tomorrow, and which would make an event like Merry Monday, for example, impossible, or make Joe Williams have to move along after an hour for his tabling effort, and, you know, is an example of just city council willing to consider incredibly repressive measures that have a dramatically negative effect on anybody's freedom of speech.
Thomas, before you leave, I know that tomorrow, actually the day after tomorrow at 3:30, there is a city council meeting that's specially examining a 5-year plan to end homelessness. Any comments on that? That's at 3:30 in the city council chambers.
Yes, this is something that Linda LeMaster has been working on for quite a while, and we'll be discussing it in detail tomorrow on the radio show as well.
It looks to me like another bureaucrat's delight, but who am I to say?
Well, I mean, fundamentally speaking, this is it's a bureaucratic requirement of the federal government that this plan be in place, and lots of people spent lots of time talking about what should be in the plan, but at least to my knowledge, most of these things require money, and it does not appear that the city council or the county, let alone the state or the federal government, has the political will or desire to actually do anything substantial. So I believe these people, unfortunately, were kind of forced by this process to spend a large amount of their time in a unproductive fashion.
Thomas Levitt, thank you for joining us. You're a
thank
city
you.
Council fighter, and you're a man who's going to be on the air tomorrow again, 10:80 a.m. tomorrow at 10.
Yes.
10 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for being with us.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And we're just about at the end of our time here. If you want to call in for a quick comment, you still can, 427-3772. I have written a draft letter to Parks and Rec. Steve Hammack, who works there. We're trying to find out what's happened to the missing benches. Here is my letter to him. It's not sent yet. It's a draft, but I thought I'd give you listeners a quick preview. In late December, you and your staff were kind enough to post the maps of Pacific Avenue, which you provided to the Parks and Recreation Commission at their monthly meeting. According to those maps, only 21 of the 35 benches originally installed on Pacific Avenue between Cathcart and Water Streets are still in place. 14 of them were removed during the last decade. In two conversations with me, you stated that there were no written records of any orders for bench removal. You said further that such removals were a verbal interaction between members of other groups, merchants or other groups, and the retired head of Parks and Recreation, Jim Lang. You also noted that you were a relatively new arrival, 2000, to the department and would check further. This is a formal Public Records Act request for a list of the dates on which each and every bench was removed, the initiating party, the disposition of the bench, and the reason for the removal. I'm also seeking access to any and all documents relating to those removals. My primary concern is a summary of the information as well as a description of where the documentation can be found. Please send me your written reply within 2 weeks as required by law. I also request you repost the maps of the Pacific Avenue bench situation in a more publicly accessible area than your conference room where, for instance, it can be viewed by working people during the evening, such as the public library. Another alternative, as we discussed, would be printing up reduced maps for public distribution. A third would be posting the map on the Internet, as the city has recently done, with the proposed forbidden performing and political tabling zones along Pacific Avenue. Thanks in advance for your attention to this matter, which is of significant public consequence to those of us who seek a public process before public resources, like benches, are removed secretly at the behest of private parties. It is in the public interest for officials who made such decisions to be publicly accountable, and the private parties who initiated them to have their actions discernible in the light of day. Sincerely, Robert Norris. And I'm going to be sending that letter after it's... I've passed it around to a few people to get some reactions. If you have any reactions to this or anything else you've heard on this show, you can give a call to 423-HUFF. That's the HUFF line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And I'll try to get back to you. I'm pretty good about returning my calls. Sometimes it takes me a while, but I do it. 423-4833, again, is the number to call off-air, and you'll get me there. Let's see what else we got here. Last time we did some discussion of with letter carrier union worker Jimmy Kelly. I guess he's a legislative liaison. He spends a lot of time away, but he spends time here. He talked about the Cynthia Matthews proposal to essentially require residents to spend money on parking permits of what had previously been free parking, and transients to have to spend huge amounts of money, or tourists, for the same kind of permits, and if you don't buy your permit, you get booted, which took on a particularly sinister dimension when I talked to Jan Goldern last night and heard some rather grim details about how he was jailed by the city. They're seeking an injunction against him, all because of his attempt to get back his trailer, which was taken from him by police, apparently in violation of two state laws. At least they didn't inform him of where it was towed to and that they had it and what the circumstances were until after it was destroyed. And when he began to protest this in a rather methodical, if militant, fashion through the going up the bureaucratic chain, complaining to supervisors and so forth, he was given an injunction. Well, they haven't got it yet, but they're having a hearing for an injunction that would bar him from being within, I don't know, what is it, 50 feet or something of any city official or any city office. So it's pretty serious stuff, a real way of criminalizing people who speak out. We're going to have him on on a future show to talk about that. Also want to note that January 7th, 8:30 a.m., that's Wednesday morning, Robert Lee Hutchinson, or Hutch, is going to go to court. He's going to get a court date for chalking. They are still going after criminal chalkers, or at least those court dates are still the repercussions of First Amendment activity down on Pacific Avenue, with no action from that great civil libertarian, Smiley Riley, the baker you love to eat the buns from, doing anything meaningful about this issue. It's kind of sad. And that may mean you should all join the Merry Mini March on Monday to Mayor Smiley Riley, and organize a time. You go in and you sort of sign up for a 15-minute time to talk to her. I encourage you to support the street performers. We're going to be meeting at 2 o'clock today. And then again tomorrow, the stakeholders are meeting at 7:30 at Loudon Nelson Center. That is, stakeholders are people who have an interest in and involvement with street performing from one perspective or another, whether that be residents, that be customers, that be city officials, police, I would say political tablers, insofar as they interact with street performers or the rules affect them. Though some may disagree with me, would include that, would also include people who are poor and homeless on the streets who have something to say about the street performer situation. Again, the focus of both these meetings is street performers. It's not the broader downtown ordinances. It's the specific ordinances as they impact street performers. I would like to see other groups get together as well, and if you want to do so, whether you're a skateboarder or a hacky sacker, and they've been coming back, thank you, hacky sackers, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. As usual, I am out of time. Too much too soon, or too much too late. I'll be back on Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening when this show returns on 96.3 FM. We haven't been rated yet by the FCC. We hope that you will come down immediately if we are. And we hope you give us a call and maybe you might want to make a donation or make a comment, 427-4523. If you want a show of your own or if you wish to donate equipment of some sort, again, 427-4523. Let's go out on a little cabaret here, and hope to see you on the streets. Thanks for being with me.
Troubles outside. So, like. life is disappointing. Forget it. And here, life is beautiful. The girls are beautiful. Even the orchestra is beautiful.
Come sit here, my dear. Tell me, have you been nice or have you been naughty?
Woo! All guests are all friends, they're all mixing, yeah. now, you vixen. You are the one gift I would like to unwrap. So let's play Santa, my dear. Come sit on my lap. Start with the top button of your blouse. Don't worry, there's no one else around. So you know where to go under the mistletoe.
Bomb in 45 to end the world war. No one had ever seen such a terrible sight before. The world watched with eyes wide to see where it would lead. As the politics of power passed around the sea, it was a time to remember that we never can forget the plan. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette. Saviors of our modern human race, with the radiation halos that hung above their face, with the key to the sure cure and treatment of our ills. A hot shot of cobalt in a pocket full of pills, speaking always of the enemy who lurked across the seas while moving in among us like a carrier disease. Bunkers of the concrete and lead, Einstein's disciples working steadily ahead, building heavy metal power plants to fire the city lights. And all you hear is the underground humming in the night, and the walls of tight security circle all around, where they spill out all the poison and they bury it in the ground. Harbor sitting secretly away, the warheads and the submarines await to make their play, and the military masterminds improve on their designs, while the soldiers get all doped up and stumble through the lines, and the leaks in the water get carried by the tide. They call it national security, I call it attempted homicide. Congressional pay, quick to please the hand that feeds, careful what they say. They call out experts to assure us and to wave their magic wands. This is the power of the future, and the future marches on, and they gather up their favors and political gains while the spells fill the rivers and settle in the plains. The minds behind them, they are riddled full of holes. They are not to be trusted with their hands at the controls. Their eyesight is twisted with the glory of their careers. Heap praise of flattery is music to their ears, and to listen to them talk about how it hasn't happened yet, the Sakhalin, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian roulette.